it started in a cafe. I was having some coffee with a record collector friend of mine who I normally meet, you know, once every couple of months. And he said, oh, I found an interesting couple of records in a charity shop in Richmond. He said, oh, it's Music from Life on Earth. And I said, no, it wasn't that, because it's never actually issued, Music from Life on Earth. And he went, no, it is the Music from Life on Earth. It's called Music from Life on Earth. And it's comes from the composer, and it's got a little leaflet in there written by the composer about, you know, telling the history of the recording and that sort of thing. And I said, are you sure? And sort of on the conversation went, really. And then I was quite intrigued, and I started trying to search about for any more information on this recording, and there was really none. And then, curiously, someone got in touch with me via my website and said, do you know about this recording, Life on Earth, Music from Life on Earth by Edward Williams, this little record that I also found in a charity shop? It's really nice. I think you'd like it. It's quite pastoral, it's quite English, it's quite sounds like some of the other composers' recordings that you issue. I think you'd be very interested. And then it was posted on this website called Waxidermy, which is a bit of a geeky kind of jazz and esoteric based record posting site. There was a picture of it, it just said Music from Life on Earth. So I saw this little thing, and then the description said, oh, beautiful, you know, post-war classical music, slightly electronic, very interesting. Just the sort of recording Johnny Trunk would be interested in. So it started driving me even more up the wall, and then I'd already started trying to get hold of Edward Williams through...
The composer,
through Musicians Union. And so I got this phone call from Edward Williams saying, hi, I'm alive and well in Bristol. And then... another curious incident happened when a major London record collector called Stephen Stassis, a sort of character who'd sell his granny for a rare jazz record, phoned me up saying, I want to sell my entire record collection. I've already sold the jazz. I've already sold the more modern recordings. I now want to sell all the library recordings. Right in the middle of the collection was this like Music for Life on Earth LP by Edward Williams. So I had to buy the whole lot to get the one record, and then sold the whole lot the next day to a friend of mine, but kept the Life on Earth record so I could at least hear it. And then started speaking to Edward Williams, started speaking to the BBC. So I found a copy of the original Life on Earth book from 1979, one with a tree frog on the front, vast selling Life on Earth book. And it was in Lower Marsh, actually, a funny little bookshop in Lower Marsh behind Waterloo. And of course the credits on the book aren't the BBC. The photographic credits are David Attenborough. He obviously took his Canon or his Fuji. And a week later, I got a phone call from completely out of the blue, Sir David Attenborough. And it was sort of, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was sitting in my office and the phone rang. I went, hello? Yes, what? This is... You might not know me. My name is David Attenborough. And of course, all the sort of hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
You recognise that voice?
Only just actually. He's different on the different on the phone from the telly.
Tell us a little bit about how important the music was to the series.
I think with all great music, it adds lots of dimensions, doesn't it? It adds to the sort of the whole movement of the visuals, but it also adds to a lot of time to the sort of emotional content of everything. You know, if you've got two flatworms courting, you know, a sort of romantic number behind it all is going to add to the whole impact of it.
I mean, you talk about courting, but there are quite a lot of courtship going on.
Well, that's Life on Earth. We don't have Life on Earth unless we all start courting. It's as simple as that.
And there's a track on this collection called "The Sex Life of the Fern."
Yeah. I mean, but that's what it is, isn't it? It's everything reproduces. That's how we stay alive.
And the music, and the way that Edward Williams made this music was interesting, wasn't it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, he's a fascinating composer because, first of all, no one knows who he is, which is great. Classic kind of trunk records, that's finding someone who's no one's heard of, who's actually sort of quite fabulous. So he's studied under Muir Mathieson, who's one of the great conductors of British film music. So things like Vertigo and all these amazing scores over the since really wartime were conducted by Muir Mathieson. So he studied under one of the great masters and then started getting his own commissions just after his naval service in the war, after the war, I think about 1948, 49, started getting his own commissions, mainly for wildlife, curiously enough. Wildlife and train documentaries and stuff like that. But he's very much a master of that proper music writing. and proper musical arrangements and that sort of thing. Also, he was a bit of a radical thinker in terms of modern music, and got quite involved with a company called EMS, who made the first British synthesizers. And he started hanging out with people like Tristram Carey, who were making extraordinary music from these synthesizers that about 1969, 1970, so very early British synthesis. And what he ended up actually buying the company in about 1980, I think. But prior to that, when he was making Life on Earth, he'd compose the classical orchestrations, get them recorded, and then feed them through these VCS3s, these incredible British synthesizers, which adds this fluid and quite otherworldly dimension to them. Actually, so they have this. You have this beautiful sort of classical music, but then you have this underlying and sometimes sort of wash of not noise, just electronics. It's very delicately done. You don't notice it until someone points it out, and then you realise that it's all this synthesised classical music. It's very clever. So it's old-fashioned and new technology at the time, sort of clashing, but in a very interesting way. I think it helps with the science side of things, and it was quite a scientific programme.
Have David Attenborough and Edward Williams given any reaction to the fact that you can now get this soundtrack finally after 30 years?
Well, I think David Attenborough was quite pleased because, you know, he's that kind of person. I think he's just been enthusiastic about just about anything. And he thought that Edward's music was, in his words, jolly good. You know, it was perfect for what they were after. They wanted, you know, modern chamber music, and that's what they got. As for Edward Williams, I think he's absolutely thrilled. I think he can't quite believe that this thing not only exists, but actually that people are sort of going, oh, it's quite good. You know, there are now people who have actually heard about Edward Williams, which is quite ironic, really. He's sort of in the twilight of his career. And I think his wife said to me the other day, she can't quite believe that after, 50 years of writing music and no one hearing of him, people are actually now starting to find out who he is.